Okay, it is 6 p.m. We'll call the Monday, August 22nd, 2016 Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Rob?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
And Roger Retzlaff has excused from tonight's meeting. Moving on to item number 2, modify or adopt the existing agenda. The item number 10 on the agenda was an item that Roger had wanted to have on the agenda. I propose we table it, since he's not here, to the next meeting. If everybody's okay with that modification, I'll ask for a motion.
I move to table that.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that'll be tabled to our next meeting. Moving on to item number 3, minutes from May 16th, 2016. If anyone has any comments, certainly just voice them. Changes. Okay, I guess hearing none, if there's a motion to approve, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
I abstain.
Got it. Kendra, it's there. All right, moving on to item number 4, minutes from July 25th, 2016. Again, if there are any changes or additions anybody wants, please feel free to mention what they are. Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes are good.
How do I have to abstain because I wasn't here?
You and I both abstain as well. Let's put that down. Perfect. Okay. Item number 5, announcements. I don't know if there's any announcements from Brad or Travis.
Sorry, just point of clarification. On Robert's rules, if two of you abstain, the motion passed.
There's four.
Yeah.
There's quorum.
Oh, there's six of you.
All right, Trader.
Become a teacher.
He's not a math teacher.
Yes, just a couple of... Just a couple of things. Last Wednesday we did have the ribbon cutting. Thank you for those that were able to attend. Thought it was very nice. That was at Galley 57. Riviera seems to be doing really well. Riviera Bar and Grill. If you haven't been there, it's a very nice ambiance. And New Eye is live now on Channel 4. So obviously our village residents turn on cable TV, on Channel 4, it does show village stuff. So we are in the process of getting a lot of stuff videotaped. Some of the things that we're going to start with are most notable ordinance violations so that we can start to do some segments on some of that stuff. But they'll also be putting the public information meeting we had at St. Matt's back in July on five-year street reconstruction projects. The ribbon-cutting ceremony should be on there, as well as the farmer's market. So we'll start to keep adding to our segment of July, and hopefully help spread the word of things that are being done in the village and take it from there.
Brad, is this something only available to someone who has cable?
You can view it online. We need to put together an email blast that tells people how to, to get onto it. So.
Yeah, actually, we only have DirecTV on it.
Yeah,
the,
is it the Roku? Roku?
Roku. I have that.
Yeah,
you can get it with that.
There, but yeah, we'll have to send it out. I'll try to get that information all put together and do a mass email.
Is it on continuous loop, or is there certain times of the day when?
Right now, I've only seen ours. So, I don't think it's going to be a continuous loop. I think typically is what they're going to do is have programs, and you can click on, if you wanted to view Village Howard, you can click on Howard Stuff or Village Valley, Schwabenheim, Brown County. Let's see, who else is on there? Lawrence is on there.
At the last board meeting, didn't they pass out a time schedule for what the programming was?
Oh, I missed that last
Oh, that's right. You were on the Boundary Waters. But they did. And a lot of it is like children's programming. They have to have so many hours of children's programming, and they can put all these old reruns on of educational things. And like, I don't know. I'm just disabled and planning. I'm not sure it is one of them, but that kind of programming. Do you remember that, Trevor?
Great. They have a lot of Popeye.
I didn't remember. I do recall this because it was tattooed on my father's arm. There will be Betty Boop.
Interesting. That makes you remember.
Any additional announcements?
Just, of course, Farmers Market, Thursdays, 3:30, 6:30.
Okay, great. And I guess we probably won't have another Plan Commission meeting before the yard waste pickup, so we can do a quick plug. 19th through the 22nd of September is yard waste pickup. The neighbor's asking me, and I feel embarrassed sometimes when I don't know the answer. So.
Just get them used to looking online.
Yeah. 19th to the 22nd. Okay, moving on to item number 6, public appearances. If there's anybody in the audience that wants to make a few comments, certainly you can. State your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 23. Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Now that the old Chapel Hill complex is up and running and they're under construction now, it's clear that there is not enough room for no longer enough room for an arboretum trail on West St. Joseph Street. I work on that street. I saw them putting in underground utilities and different things that would make it impossible to plant an arboretum, enough trees to make it an arboretum trail. So I'd like to see them just go ahead and put in a sidewalk. It's now been decided by the board that the village is going to go ahead and bear the full expense putting in a sidewalk on Riverside Drive, and instead of waiting another 5 or 10 years until West Riverside Drive is reconstructed, I'd like to see a sidewalk put in now so that those people can get across the street to the Fox River Trail, and then also a sidewalk on the west side of Riverside Drive will need to somehow connect to the Fox River Trail. There's a lot of people who would rather walk as you get older. The ability to walk trumps the ability to drive, because a lot of people are out and they really want to be able to walk and maybe walk for a half hour, and getting down to the riverside is really good for them. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else in the audience? Okay. Move on to item number 7, discussion of zoning code update. And I believe this was an item on the last agenda also, correct? And I wasn't here about the last one, so we don't need to rehash everything. I read the minutes. But what it sounds like is you evaluated what it would cost to have a consultant come in and shepherd us through that process, and the cost depends on the type of zoning ordinance that we're looking for?
That's correct. So I think right now it's just kind of investigating what option is best for us. At the suggestion of Commissioner Walzik Adrians, I reached out to the Center of Land Use Education, and Rebecca Roberts is able to come and kind of go through each type of zoning code for us, kind of give us a third-party perspective as far as what might work best for us, what to investigate further. She can come either September, otherwise I'm suggesting maybe October, and give us a little more time to just kind of do some self-evaluations.
When do we need to have a recommendation for a budget item to the board?
Right. It's likely it we pass that time for this year.
Okay.
And it's September 2nd, I think it is.
Okay.
Which, it was discussed last time, this is a potentially 40-year investment. I know we've been talking about it for a while, but now that we're investigating it further, I think do their best to do our due diligence.
Okay. Would it be worthwhile to have something in the budget as a placeholder, where at least if we have $10,000 in the budget for starting that process, then there would be money next year to at least get it moving? I mean, not knowing really even the order of magnitude of that effort, might be hard to pin a number on it, but it might be nice to have a placeholder, just something to recommend to the board.
Sure. I think that would be possible, right?
Yeah, it's certainly something that we can put into the budget and at least have it there for budget discussions.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to go about. Budget discussions will get underway in October.
Okay. Is that something we need to make a recommendation tonight for? Or we can wait until next month until maybe we have a...
You have it under discussion, so...
Oh,
yeah.
We can't make it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, with that type of project, you're probably talking anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 in 2 years. If not more, yeah. It's probably been 10 years since I went through that. So that's $2,006.
Yeah, Wisconsin Rapids recently did theirs. They budgeted, I think, $120,000. Came in, went on the budget at 95 or something like that. But they said, what's that? Marshfield recently did theirs, and theirs was around 120.
Yeah, those are bigger landmass communities, and they got different complexities, and they have the ability to annex, and their comprehensive plan, or their planning area is a little bit bigger than the village of Alloways. So, well, regardless, it doesn't matter, because we could put, you know, $1 million on it, it doesn't matter. I guess maybe that'd be better, just put $700,000 in the budget, and then everybody notice it. But in order to get a decent engagement into the process, you know, Kendra's absolutely right, a placeholder in the budget. Well, has this gone before the village board as of yet? Have there been discussions, or was it?
I think the board is aware, but it has formally gone to the board for their discussions. There were some recommendations throughout the public input process, as commissions were, for the stadium tax money to be used to have the zoning code. So
yeah.
I think that plus just other discussion that has taken place, I think the board's at least it's on their radar.
Right.
But no formal discussion has taken place.
So what do you recommend, Brad? So it doesn't really matter what we say here, because if we're behind the budget time and we don't get something in, we can talk about it for the next year, but we can't actually do anything.
Well, I think what we can do is start that process and at least put a dollar figure into the budget to see how it affects the budget itself. And if it's in the discussion with, and maybe Trevor can find this out, if it is a two-year process, you budget it over 2 years.
Right.
So, one of the other things that we do have coming up, kind of in relation to this, is our recodification. We're coming to the end of that. We've got a draft back from General Code, reviewing all that, so they do kind of go hand in hand. And again, the recodification is the first I think we've ever done, so this is just yet another step in trying to get us in a good position. So, and we can look at utilizing one of the other communities and maybe have a discussion with whomever they hired to do their project to find out what we might be looking at. We can come up with a number.
Yeah, then would you?
We can put it in the budget under,
the
wish list items.
Exactly.
So that brings them to at least top of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go 60 to 80 grand, to start with. You'll spend that in the first year. I think you can keep it under 80. Just with the type of, planning firms you have in this area. Start getting to the Northern Illinois market, it's going to get a little higher. But consultant fees up here are a little bit better. I don't know who Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield hired, but, if it was a Camaros or also Levine or some of these other big planning firms in Chicago, it's going to be pretty expensive.
Right.
So how much are you going to put in the budget?
I guess first we'll find out from Wisconsin Rapids if they paid it over a two-year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always 18 months at least to do it. So.
So put at least half of it in.
Yeah, whatever. Budget amendments happen too. I guess that's kind of it. That's all we really needed to discuss tonight on it, right? I don't know if there's anything else on that topic. That I think it's great that we're going to have somebody come in and talk about the different code stuff. That's good.
Does it make a difference, like the type of the choice you make for your zoning, how much it costs? Like, is one type more expensive to have done because it's more detailed than another type?
It would. What would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start getting into the form-based kind of stuff, and you start getting into the architectural standards. Then you got more graphics, and you got that kind of stuff. There's just,
There's more detail.
More detail. Yep. Absolutely.
At the last meeting, I did mention that I was going to do a few metrics, just to see kind of where we're at with our code.
So I went back over the past 10 years and just kind of look at how many times we've amended our zoning code. And over the past 10 years, there are 59 total amendments between 2006 and 2015. 30 of those were text amendments. Six of those were PDDs of some type, and the other 18 were rezonings. So, I know that doesn't really tell you a whole lot. Doesn't tell me a whole lot, but it's where I've started, and I'll continue to kind of add to that. In addition to that, since the inception of, or the adoption of the site plan review process in 2009, we've had a total of 19 different plan reviews, total of 15 or so different, 14 or 15 different development projects. 12 of those 19 review projects have gone through site plan and design review. Another 3 have gone through the PDD, and 4 have been PDD amendments. So, based off that, you know, we're not using the PDD to necessarily to the full extent. Taking a look at that, I would assume that development taking place is relatively consistent with our comprehensive plan, you know, if we're using the site plan design review process so much. So I guess my suggestion would be the Planning Commission, I can email this to you, kind of take a look at these developments and do an evaluation if you think if we're satisfied with the quality of these developments. Just, you know, another discussion we had.
Yeah, you can look at it a couple of ways, because with the number of PDDs you have, you know, you want the zoning code to be such that you don't have.
Right, you don't want the PDD.
You don't want the PDD.
But the site plan review means that you're following the zoning code
right
to the T, which means, in theory, that you're... your zoning code is consistent with your comprehensive plan.
Right.
So it doesn't look like there's more than one PDD in any given year, does it?
No. I mean, recently, we've gone through the process quite a bit, but none have been approved except Gable Chapel.
People have tried to get them or something, but they've been refused.
So when you say that you don't want to follow, or you don't want a PDD, that means you want to follow what's already there?
Yeah, zoning code. That's that matches the comprehensive plan that enables development without having to go through the PDD process. It's a variance. And actually, it's actually a lot. It's a lot of PDDs for an infill village. If this village had a bunch of area around it that was greenfield that'd be annexed in, I'd expect, you know, a special use or a PDD, you know, a year or whatever else. But for infill, it means that not only the number of applications, then those getting rejected, and then those getting passed, people are out there saying, your zoning doesn't work for what we're trying to do.
So is it possible we look at those PDDs and look at the reason they were PDDs? What caused them to be PDDs? So that we can analyze that, would that tell us maybe more information of
what's not working?
Yeah, what's not working.
Sure.
That who, I guess, pushed the rezonings? Was it the village board or plan commission that prompted the rezoning, or was it a developer's concern or a resident's concern, or where did it come from, rezonings?
Right, and it's interesting to look at that, because a good majority of the rezonings took place, and I only look back 10 years into the past, but the majority took place during a different administration. So, you know, two, it's how the Planning Commission, how the board, and how staff all interprets the codes. And
yeah, I mean, you could throw out 2008 and 2009, probably 2010, because that was just a different time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any development that was coming into the village was going to get
whatever they wanted.
The commercial, the residential. I mean, it was, you know, so if you look past that, maybe 2011 forward,
yeah,
it's mostly just text amendments then.
Right. And I think that's quite a few text amendments.
Yeah.
You know, even if the changes are small, they start adding up. And a lot of them aren't small. Like, we look at 2013, repeal and recreate the site plan and design review section. We go 2012, yeah, site code rewrite. I think in 2014 we had, I don't see it up there, but we had the conditional use rewrite. And PDD was rewritten in 2009, I think. So, I mean, you start getting all these disjointed parts that kind of need to be brought together.
Yeah, I mean, in text amendments, you're right, because we are allowing brew pubs now. Mm-hmm. You know, and that wasn't before we made that text amendment. That's substantial.
But even, you know, part of the zoning code update, we'll be looking at our current land uses. And, you know, if we have to reclassify something, our current classification is correct. You know, we only have one straight commercial district right now. We have an office district and a commercial district. So a lot of municipalities have, you know, two or three.
That was also called out, if I'm not mistaken, in the corridor study, that they were indicating that we should seriously look at the zoning of the corridor.
Yeah, to your point, it would be interesting to go back and look at if those are village-initiated or...
Yeah.
I'll have to bother Debbie tomorrow and see if she can help me out there.
That's fun looking through old minutes and looking for that, right?
And one other note, this doesn't take into account any... This is strictly Chapter 11, so this doesn't take into account floodplain, shoreline, historic preservation, building code, or any fences, anything outside of Chapter 11. So.
Thank you, Trevor.
Okay, do we want to keep this item on the agenda and just give us an update at the... Because we haven't decided yet if it's going to be September or October for the presentation, right? We can lock that down and just keep this on the agenda. Okay. Perfect. All right. Moving on to item number 8, update of bicycle and pedestrian plan. Roger's not here, so it's you, Trevor.
All right. I'll go back up here again.
So right now we're moving forward. We had the deadline of November that we wanted to hit. Right now Public Works is kind of reviewing our recommendations. And I just wanted to give you a quick update of how we came to our recommendations. So these maps are from Tulsa recently did an area-wide bicycle pedestrian plan. And what was interesting is they were able to graph the demand needs throughout the city. Looking at different things like employment locations, schools, parks, trailheads, apartment complexes, you know, things that you normally would, but what I found interesting was how they represented it in the map. So we kind of went around and did something similar. We identified, this is obviously very rough, we identified the commercial areas and the high density areas. And we drew kind of quarter mile rings around there. Reason being, people will typically walk about a quarter mile. And we also identified different parks, trails, schools, community facilities in the village and did a similar exercise. And then we identified locations that were broad, or that were through streets that were hit the most. And we, from there, we were able to identify quarter-mile sidewalks. It's obviously quite a bit of sidewalks. For a community that doesn't have any, many sidewalks, going from where we're at now to this, it would be kind of impractical at this point to recommend in the plan. But we also took what was called out in the Safe Routes to School plan, and we came up with what's the preferred facilities. Now, this is probably what you want to consider, you know, 50 years. This isn't a 20-year plan. So right now, we're working with Public Works in how to identify, or in working with their road reconstruction to identify which streets are not only where the demand is needed, but where the where it's practical. You know, for instance, on this demand map, St. Joseph and Floral Drive both showed up. Obviously, you don't need sidewalks on both of those streets. So that's something easy that can be eliminated. There's also terrain issues that you have to deal with. It's, that's what Public Works is evaluating. We did a similar process for the bicycle facilities, but we also included streets over that have an annual average daily traffic of 3,000 or more, or faster than 25 miles per hour, are recommended to have bike lanes on them. Some sort of separation because to keep both modes of travel safe, both users safe. And again, we took what was identified in the bicycle and pedestrian plan, and we kind of came up with recommended facilities. And again, this is being evaluated by Public Works right now. So this is where we're at right now. We're kind of, I don't want to say a standstill because we're moving forward, but from the committee level, we're just kind of taking a breather, I guess, until Public Works can review and give their input.
What does the solid red line mean versus the dash?
Solid is current bike route, and that's something that we kind of identified in the plan. That solid red line is shown on Brown County's map as a current bike route.
Is that Webster Avenue?
It's not signed.
Or
it's not marked. No, that this blue line, this dashed blue line.
Oh,
is
okay.
Webster,
okay.
Gotcha. And then this is Riverside Drive.
Okay.
So what's the red line?
This is Libel.
Okay. And that has bike lanes on it currently?
It's a bike route.
It is. Oh, okay. But it doesn't have bike lanes?
Right.
No.
Sidewalks on both sides.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it just on the west side?
For the most part.
Yeah.
It's wide enough for bike accommodations, correct? It's just not marked that way?
Correct. And I think that was partly because there's a lot of parking on Libel, too. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to... So that's also another thing you have to take in consideration, whether or not it's to have both on there or a bike route. You know, Libel's moderately slow. I mean, there are some speeding issues, but... for the most part, you know, a bicyclist and a motorist might be able to share the lane. But
so this is your recommendation right now, the dotted lines?
As it stands. This is very much a draft. It hasn't been even approved by, you know, formally by the public, or by the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. It's just, this is what we've discussed, and this is what Public Works is reviewing.
How does it overlay with the 5-year street reconstruction plan?
That's what Public Works is.
They're doing it right now. They're taking a look at it.
There are some streets that fit within there. And ideally, you would like to get everything done at one time, but it might work out where you have to go back.
Yeah.
And add sidewalks or add, you know, bicycle accommodations. You kind of want to as you can imagine, take care of right there.
I don't think anybody would argue that St. Joseph is probably a place where we need some sort of pedestrian facility. So, you know, given back to Jim's comments earlier, just because the plan isn't approved yet, is there any momentum to try to make this happen sooner than later on St. Joseph?
That's a good example, because St. Joseph is scheduled to be reconstructed, I think, in 18, yeah. The east part, from Libel West, is management. So it is on Public Works' attention to get that. I agree. The density on St. Joseph, you absolutely need density in commercial. You absolutely need pedestrian accommodations on there. I'd agree with Jim's comment. It's just trying to determine what works there, because there is a very steep grade, especially when you get to those the existing condo units, and then you have a very sharp S-curve there. And I know in the quarter study identified the trail, the algorithm trail would work there, but and we adopted that. And so you want to take those considerations to heart as much as you can, but really, you want to analyze what's going to work best, what's going to keep everything safe. Because the drive lanes on St. Joseph are relatively wide, too, that you could even narrow the road if you needed to. But it's just, what is going to be the safest option for everyone.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of sidewalk.
Right.
And you might have to carriage walk it in some locations just because of the thin right-of-way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some places where you put a bike lane doesn't make sense on a public road,
right.
You know, if there's blind, but certainly a couple of curves and a couple of hills shouldn't stop a sidewalk installation,
right?
Because people are already walking that way.
Oh, I agree.
You know, so anything you do there is going to be safer than what's there today.
Agreed. So that's kind of where we're at now. Hoping to keep moving things forward. Hopefully in the next few months there's something before you guys to review. So
how's it going? The process is going good though? Everybody's pretty engaged at the meetings and good attendance?
We have about pretty good attendance, yeah. We have a core group that's well engaged.
Good. Any other comments for Trevor on the bike fed plan? All right. Moving on to item number 9, discussion of annual site tour. Trevor actually put together a memo for us for that one.
I just kind of, so you guys can visualize.
Wow.
Did you get a new tool?
Word.
Word.
Yeah. But it's the same locations as identified in the memo. I just figured when discussing where we should go, it might help. So the green boxes represent the amenitive properties. The purple represent past, future, or current PDD projects. Yellow represent the two past site plan review projects, and then the blue triangle is other. So you have the pump house on Green Avenue, the new trail next to Area Chill and the Boat Hall site. And then also I identified the roads that were identified in the memo too. Section of Green Avenue east of Libel to Green Isle Park. And of course Webster, Libel, and Riverside. which is a scary thought to think about, that those three streets are that close together.
I hate saying things like this, but it feels like Libel was just under construction. When was that? Maybe 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Libel? It would have been going, it would have been on the north side of Zesty's.
Yeah.
So maybe that would have been Baird then. That was, am I crazy? I thought it was, like, the whole road was, I thought it was reconstructed.
Well, the roundabout went in there and it was closed down for a while.
That's what it was, yeah, okay.
That was about 10 years ago.
Yep, that must have been what I was thinking of then. Okay, so they didn't reconstruct or repave at that time. They must have just did the roundabout. Okay.
So what do you want from us?
Locations that you'd like to...
How many locations do you think we can manage? Or did you put this up there because if we group them, we can manage more?
I think if we group them, we can manage more, but it's really up to you. I'd recommend starting earlier, 5:30 or earlier if possible, but... I think pass.
Maybe 4?
4 or 5, yeah.
I hold off looking at the roads only because that isn't in the near future.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to get on board with that.
We looked at the Village Hall site not too long ago, so. Was that?
Last year, right?
Did we do it last year? Like 2 or 3 years ago? There's not much to see there right now. Yeah.
And if you do capital credit, in the Hotline Suites,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a facade improvement.
Well, that would be nice.
Well, so then you could do 2 right there. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea to hit a couple of the facade improvements. Yeah, I used to have the owner or manager out to talk a little bit about the project.
Yeah.
I haven't been by the old Chapel Hill. I think that would be, just because that property is kind of unique, and we did go out there last year and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now if we can see some activity on there, mm-hmm. It would be kind of interesting, I think. That's just my opinion.
I think the quick trip is worth stopping at, too.
The only thing I know on that is the Webster Bridge itself.
You're right. It's a long way around.
Small village can seem quite large.
Yeah. Maybe we all check that one out on our own and
go
back.
We're all driving, it's not a big deal, aren't we?
We could set up a couple vehicles and just
we could
make it a little easier, so then you can probably cover a lot more.
We can see more, yeah.
Trevor will ride ahead.
I think last year we were at the old chapel site, and then we went down Riverside Drive up Derby Lane.
Yes. And we looked at that goofy little road that's
not. It's
cattywampus, and I don't know how it's going to be fixed.
So they just plan on using vehicles. And
I would help.
Yeah,
I would like to see the pump house, but that's only because I want to see it. There's no real good reason other than it's our property, and I keep saying I want to see it, and I never go see it.
I've never seen it.
It's kitty corn from the Zesty's. Yeah.
Cool looking building.
Drive right by it.
That's another one to stop into the big valley while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
Did the pump house?
I tried that out. That's good.
Did the pump house get renovated? I remember that being on the agenda a couple of years ago, maybe.
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's potential yet. Still coming.
Sounds like no roads and cars, and now we just got to pick a date. I meant no roads, no viewing of roads, mm-hmm. and we'll be in cars. And we just gotta pick a date. You gotta pick a date.
So we're picking an additional date, right? Other than our plan.
I'd recommend.
I know that the 19th is not available.
I'm not available on the 19th.
And it doesn't have to be. I just figured Mondays is when we usually meet. So.
Does the 12th work for everybody?
I can do the 12th.
Can we do just a Google Calendar?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that because I can't do the 12th.
I can't do the test either.
Sounds like we're going to do a Google Calendar.
All right.
We'll figure that out.
And then just locations. 5:30 work for everyone. So I can at least set that time.
Yeah.
And then locations, I mean, do you want to pick four that are a priority? And if we have time, we can always see more. We'll put the four on the top of the list. And
yeah.
Trevor, what's the status of the Mayflower?
That you might actually see next month, pending if they get their plans into us.
So that might be worthwhile to walk out there and see the site before we take action on it.
Right.
I think that one was. That's
you did the quick trip, Chapel Hill, Old Chapel Hill, Mayflower. Stop at Community Credit Union. Check out Hawthorne Suites. And then you could always stop down by the Mariner / Hidden Mariner in Riviera.
Yeah. You know, something else I could always like walk across the street and look at this myself, I'm sure. But that property across from St. Matthew's, that's such a goofy piece of property. Just to know it better. Yeah.
If you're at each site for 10, 15 minutes, you can pick up quite a few.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll hold off on the TIF developments.
There doesn't seem like there's a real purpose that we have to do right now. This other seems more pressing.
And then we'll also explain the Old Village Hall site and the trail connection. And I think.
And if we don't get to the water building, that's fine. Like if we have to sign.
I'll put that at the end.
I can always call and have a tour someday.
That's great.
We got to get moving on the economic development front so we're not doing an annual site tour of a vacant lot. Looking at this list, I'm like, what? I go to some of these places every day. there's your orders, Trevor. Get us more business.
By the end of the week.
Yeah.
By the end of the week.
A lot of them out there that just don't fit where they want to be.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Okay. I think we got some direction from the group, right, Trevor? Is that all good?
Yep.
There's no other discussion on number 9. We will move on to item number 11 because we have tabled item number 10. Next meeting date and agenda items. So the last Monday in September is
26.
Got it.
I'm not able to be here for that meeting.
Okay. I won't be here either.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
We do have two alternates.
On vacation.
Me too, where are you going?
Ireland.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's pretty far.
Pretty far, yeah. I don't think I could
you
stop.
You can Skype in.
Stop. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, yeah. I'll do that.
Maybe see how it sounds, but Jim, are you good?
I'm good.
Penny?
On the 26th, I'm good.
I'm good.
Works for me.
Good. So that is enough. I guess we're to
If everybody shows up. If nobody gets sick.
So I guess we can keep moving forward with 9:26 as scheduled. As far as agenda items, so we have the zoning code update. And if September is the only time that can work for your group to come in, for the group to come in and give the presentation.
It's Clue, it's not my group. It's just my recommendation to contact Clue.
Well, when you talk to them, if the only time they can come is in September, then we might want to move this date to make sure that we have a good-sized plan commission to see that. So just keep it in the back of your mind. Yeah. We'll keep the update on bicycle and pedestrian plan on the next agenda, right?
Great.
Should be something coming out of that. We'll be done with the site tour by then. And then item number 10 from Roger. We can move to the next meeting. Those are the only things that I had from tonight that carry over. If anybody else has anything they'd like added.
And then enemy flyers.
Yeah, if everything works the way it should. Okay, moving on to item number 12, a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Opposed? All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.